SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. Inching toward Travers. Yesterday, the racing office, they had to do some bobbing and weaving, I think, from what I could tell. And late in the afternoon, we got ourselves the card for Saturday, and the feature, appropriately, you know, you get to Travers Day, you don't really want the undercard overshadowing the feature. And don't worry, it's not gonna. They're nice card. The stakes, as has become really the one struggle and frustration on a going basis, not just in New York, but it's just there's so many opportunities in proximity to each other for these divisions that, you know, that you find yourself, you know, saying, you know, where are another two, three, four horses? And you look at the forego, the sequence starts Saturday in terms of the stakes with the forego. Here's the grade one, $600,000. And, Matoli's there and promises fulfilled. But I'm a little mystified. Yes, field of six, and okay, the headliners are great. Promises fulfilled and Matoli, you know, feel like a collision course is in the offing between the two of them, even stylistically. But I'm just surprised. And the Pat O'Brien's being run on the other coast. There's only seven in the Pat O'Brien. I mean, this is the sprint division. There's sprinters all over the place. So I don't know. I thought that was a little. I thought 8, 9, 10 might be nice for this. For this bunch, I mean, there were seven for the John Nayrud. I'm just looking down. Airstrike is coming in. Phil D'Amato, was a clever move, and this didn't come up with Phil the other day, but he's sending out Airstrike from California, coming out of a fourth in the Crosby. But he, you know, you'll recall that he won the Triple Bend at 7/8, and has pretty much been committed to sprinting at this point. He's mildly interesting in here. And Killebeg's Captain, who's kind of become a little bit of a favorite, it feels like he's always just a cut beneath the graded stake, you know, sprinter tops. Bon Raison, who ran a bang-up race in that Tail of the Cat, but he also just feels like he's just a cut beneath. And then Firenze Fire, who at least does have a prominent Saratoga win on the resume. But, as we all know, just invariably, you know, seems to be better downstate. So, there's your six for the forego, and it feels like it comes down to promises fulfilled in Matoli. And is your confidence shaken in Matoli after the Vanderbilt? Was it a reaction to the enormous efforts in the spring and into the early summer, that Metropolitan and the Churchill Downs, and before that, even the Count Fleet. I mean, he had put together a nice run. So maybe, you know, it was time to, this will be a bit of a important test. And Steve Asmussen sounded confident the other day. That gets us to the Ballerina, the corresponding filly and mare grade one sprint. And there's seven in here. And again, it's a nice group, but and there's some quality to it. I mean, certainly Come Dancing, who's getting back to a sprint distance of less than a mile and ran credibly in the Ogden Phipps. Midnight Bisou ultimately gets passed, but Come Dancing, who's been working up a storm up here. I mean, every time she worked, people were oohing and aahing. Separation of Powers out of the Better Roses win. And then a couple of nibblers. A minute to stardom. The very nice Jose Camejo, Star Guitar filly, who shocked the Honorable Miss. And Mia Mischief for Asmussen as well. Pacific Gale, Toby Morton, and John Kimmel. So, group of seven for the Ballerina, the Jerkins. The Jerkins has one major question. What do you do about Chancelot? They brought this up with Andy on Tuesday, and I think it's really the key element here. I mean, if he runs back anything close to that Amsterdam, how do you beat him? He does have to go from the outside to the inside. He was in the 12 hole out of 12 last time and goes down to the rail. And, you know, granted, he's going to still fire out of there, but it is a little bit, it's always a little tricky. The thing is, what's going to be an enhancement of Chancelot's, chances in here is that there's really no pronounced other speed. I mean, Call Paul has got speed. I can't believe that Arad Ortiz will want to match strides. And at the same time, if somebody doesn't go with Chancelot, how's he get beat in here if he runs back to that effort? He's a 121 buyer. It's very, very tough. A lot of people in the multis will just stand, I'm sure, with him. The second half of the stake card then starts to get a little bit more intriguing, I think, and difficult for decision-making. And it starts with the Boston Spa. Mile and a 16th, and nine of them. And you got the pair of Chad Brown trainees, 55, the very nice mare, was really one of the first of the Get Stormies to sort of indicate that the son of Stormy Atlantic was going to do okay as a stallion. And you have Indian Blessing coming in from Europe, back from Europe for Ed Walker. Florent Giroux gets aboard for the first time. Significant form for he's not Chad Brown. The other Chad Brown is Stephanie Seymour Brandt's significant form, who has never hit the board at Saratoga, interestingly. But I thought Secret Message, Graham Motion, and Sal Cumin, and the Hyder family group. Starship Jubilee, Kevin Attard, the six-year-old mare, coming out of the Dance Smartly. Thought she was okay. Chad's also got, Chad's got the horse on the outside, too. I almost forgot, Masha, who won the allowance race at the earlier in the meet and gets a shot in here. But that one is not an open and shut case at all. Personal Ensign, Midnight Bisou, Coach Rock, She's a Julie, Elate, Wildcat, and Golden Award, six of them again. And, okay, this is a serious bunch, obviously, when you particularly with Elate and Midnight Bisou coming together. Wildcat, nothing wrong with Wildcat. Golden Award. Golden Award seems like she's in with a real chance. So here's a group of six, and we talked to Dale Romans earlier in the summer after Coach Rocks had actually run very well in the Molly Pitcher. And if she can duplicate that, she's a part. So here's a group of six that is actually competitive and interesting. The Sword Dancer, Sword Dancer feels like the two English channels are the place to start. Channel Cat and Channel Maker. Chad Counters with you. Primo coming back from the Bowling Green effort, the Chilean, first time North America, Annals of Time coming out of the allowance win earlier in the meet as well. Saddler's Joy, who you know is going to put in a run, had to idle, and Javier Castellano really did not have a place to go for quite a while in the Bowling Green. So Chad's also introducing Proven Reserves to Stakes Company from down inside. Mike Maker and the Three Diamonds team, the Wyckoffs, Noble Thought, Pillar Mountain for Todd Pletcher. But of the two Todds, Channel Cat seems you know, very much a, especially coming out of that Bowling Green win where he just kept going. And Channel Maker, who's been consistent, always puts in a run. So that leads into the Travers. So the two turf stakes, I think both really, you know, make for some intrigue in the pick four, the pick five. It all leads into Travers, and the more you look at the Travers, it really should be a lot of fun. Where the wagering goes, looking forward to talking to everybody and getting their opinions, particularly tomorrow when we do the serious handicapping. You know, after getting the PPs in order and looking at the field of 12 shoulder to shoulder, I think I'm gonna end up picking Code of Honor in the final analysis. You know, yesterday, you know, after the draw on Tuesday night, you know, and I was thinking Endorsed right up behind the Speeds as they are. You know, Pace, I think Pace continues to look, you know, just okay, not fast, but not dawdling either. And it all is going to come down to tax. And we're going to talk to Randy Hill after the first break. We know what Danny Gargan said about going to the lead. Let's see what owner Randy Hill has to say. And Randy's got a really entertaining day. He's got horses all over the card, including Channel Maker he's involved in as well. And he's got the mare and the ballerina Come Dancing. Is it Come Dancing? Or no, who's it? Like Come Dance. Is it Come Dancing? Who is it? He's involved with somebody else. I think it is Come Dancing, isn't it? Randy has had an amazing year. And we talked to him. When did we talk to him? Did we talk to him after the Jim Dandy? I know we did on TV. I don't think we did on radio. So the big day of the meet. Weather's going to be glorious. After yesterday's unbelievable, it didn't seem possible that it was going to get awful again after we got off the air yesterday, but it did. Unbelievable. Tina and I told you we have to go to Bennington, so Tina's got to drive me around. I'm like Miss Daisy. Yeah. So we were meandering our way back from Bennington, and you know, all of a sudden my phone starts to beep and buzz and rattle and roll and shake. Tornado warning! Tornado warning! What are you talking about? Yeah, one of the things it said was possible tornado. Okay. All right. Say so. You know, hail. Hail the size of toasters. It wasn't okay. They weren't the size that there were some penny. I think they called it penny size hail. Another delay in the paddock, and I it's this has been a volatile several days. But the good news is it's going to be gorgeous going forward here and into Travers Day. So lots of discussion, including with Randy next. A couple other notes about yesterday. And by the way, the races, three races are off the turf, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th today. Just protecting the course a little bit. One race on the inner, that's the stake, the risk-averse, and one race on the widener. That's the 3rd, which is a nice mile and 3/16 filly and mare first level allowance. The 5th, 2-year-old fillies, they'll cut back to 7/8, and the nightcap 3 and up maiden 65s, and the 7th New York bred 3 and up filly and mares. Those are the off the turfs. And there's lots of MTOs, actually, in the 7th and in the 10th. So the fields will stay intact. Regarding MTOs, how about yesterday? The late action, the 8th and the 10th, you had the 5th choice in both races, 6-horse fields. 5th choice wins both. A 20-80 winner in the nightcap. That's for Mertken Cantamarcy, paid 20-80, and you had a 21-20 winner. I take that back. You had a 18-20 winner, China Rider, for David Canizzo. That was a 8-horse field. The off the turf continues to produce crazy prices. Let's take a break. Randy Hill, Pete Fornatel, Haskin, and more. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the 4 plus this, I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
She's coming over, we'll go out walking, make a call. I'm looking at seems to forget yesterday. There's the sun that seems to forget yesterday. Yeah.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into hour one on this Thursday. And some new faces added to the Jockey Club roster. Shannon Bishop, Arvin, and Gary Barber, Terry Finley, Pope McLean Jr., Jamie Roth, and Chuck Winner elected to the Jockey Club. And you know what might make the Jockey Club a little bit more fun? If Randy Hill became a Jockey Club board member. He joins us now. Randy, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Would you like to get elected to the Jockey Club?
I'm not sure I do, Steve. I think I've got too many things going on.
It might enliven, you know, the round table. You might put a jolt of fun into the round table.
Or maybe a jolt of lightning might be a better way to say it.
Well, you've captured lightning in the bottle repeatedly this year. Wherever we've gone, whatever big day has been on the docket, Randy Hill's been involved. What a year, what a summer, and it may reach a pinnacle on Saturday.
Yeah, it certainly has been a whirlwind ride. You and I have talked about it a couple of times. I mean, you know, topped by the Travers, I don't think anything could be better than that. You know, on the other hand, I'm looking at, you know, between now and Saturday, we're going to be in three different stakes races. So, with the five different horses, actually four stakes races. So, it's a certainly exciting time. But the Travers are certainly the number one focus for me.
Well, no doubt. And the draw on Tuesday, you had to sit there and you know, when the pill gets pulled and you're announced as having the 12 hole, it immediately, I think everybody made the assumption that it was going to force the hand of Danny and of Errat Ortiz. Talk about your thoughts going in and drawing the 12 and what it's going to mean to you strategically.
Well, I think there's a couple of thoughts. You know, you're standing there and you're pulling horses, and then you're down to it. There's two slots left, and there's the 2 and the 12. And you're thinking, you know, I don't think I'd like either one of them. I don't have much choice. So we got the 12. I was initially disappointed, and I slept on it. I thought about it. And I said, you know, this is actually, you know, not so bad for us. Catholic Boy won it from the 12th hole last year.
That's true.
And, you know, if you look at the Travers this year, there's obviously a lot of good horses in there, but you know, speed is a question mark. There doesn't look like there's much speed, and then there's a distance question for some of the other contenders. So my view is, you know, Danny's got me this far, and, you know, I've got Irad, who I think, I think will mastermind a trip for me. So I think I'm going to leave that in their hands. Whether they're going to go or not, I don't know. But, I mean, has our hand been forced? We're certainly put in a position where we got to think about going.
Well, and you were, I mean, given that Maximum Security did not participate, who you knew would be, you know, right on top of the lead, and whether he was going to, you know, take it or not. But without him involved, I mean, really, Tax did become the horse that I think people assumed would set the pace. In general, Randy, how involved are you with now, to some degree, with Danny, but also, of course, on a regular basis with George Weaver? How involved are you in these kinds of discussions about strategy?
Well, you always have discussions. I mean, especially when you're in a big race, that's the focus of what you're thinking about and what you're doing. But you know, my view is, you know, I pay my trainer to do his job, and so I'm going to listen to what he has to say. I've been in the game a long time. I'm a pretty good handicapper, so I have some things to say, but I'm going to depend ultimately, you know, on what Danny does. And I also think when you look at a race, you know, certainly Irad's going to have a plan. He's a mastermind in doing that. But, you know, the horses break and then things change, and I think that Irad will see how we break. You know, he'll put us where we need to be. Steve, the good news is it's a mile and a quarter. So you've got some time to that first turn to get yourself sorted out. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I will say this. You know, my horse ran his top figure last time in a Jim Dandy, and I will tell you this, he's in better shape today than he was then. This is the fittest he's ever been. So, to be quite honest with you, I wouldn't trade places with anybody in this race, even being in post 12.
Well, you bring up, you know, really the logical next question, and that is, it does seem, you know, based on the Gallups and then the published, you know, the one published work since the Jim Dandy, that he actually is on the improve and seems to be coming into this better even than he was at any point during the spring and earlier in the summer. And that's going to make for an added equation decision, because people seem so quick right now to say, well, Tacitus with a clean trip, oh, he was easily the best horse in the Jim Dandy, that they may say that, and that's nice, you know, that's small consolation for their camp. But if Taxis is still on the improve, Randy, that adds a lot of intrigue to the decision making process Saturday.
I certainly agree with you, and we're going to find out who's the best horse here in this little rivalry we have going on. There's certainly some other horses that we have to fear. But look, what you want in any sport, whether it's baseball, whether it's football, whether it's horse racing, you want to be peaking at the right time. You want to be peaking at the Super Bowl. We're peaking at the biggest race of my life right now. The Derby certainly was as big, but I'm not sure I thought I had as good a chance in the Derby as I do here. But I'm in a situation where my horse is peaking at the right moment, at the right time, at the right track that he likes. So I think that we're going to find out. I've certainly heard that a number of times that, you know, the best horse didn't win the race. Well, I won the race, and so I was the best horse that day.
They did give you the winner's share, right?
They did take my picture, I thought so.
Okay, I just want to confirm that. You bring up a fascinating question for somebody like you who bets plenty. How difficult is it for you when you are handicapping, you know, just on a Monday through Sunday basis? How tough is it for you when you've got a horse in the race? How tough is it for you to build your tickets and be, you know, totally objective as to how you're going to wager?
Well, you're not. Well, I'm not. I mean, I bet my horses all the time, even when I think that as a handicapper, we don't have a good shot. So I don't really build a ticket in that race. But when I'm in a race like the Travers, I go in and handicap it like I didn't have a horse in a race, and who would I bet if I was in a race? And you're right, there's questions. You know, you've got Code of Honor, who certainly ran a big race last time in the Dwyer. You got Owendale, you know, who won the Ohio Derby. You've got Chad Brown, which you can never count out. And then you've got, you know, got Baffert sending a horse from the West Coast. I look at that and I say, you know, there's distance questions on some of these horses. You know, speed is the other factor. Now, who would I bet if I was going to bet this race? And to be perfectly honest with you, if I was betting this race, I'd be betting Tax.
There you go. All right. And who do you want to use with him?
I'm not using anybody. Just me. Oh,
interesting. Interesting. So what about in the multis?
In the multi, I'll go back and forth with the doubles with him. You know, I'll sit with him going forward and going back. But maybe it's a superstition, Steve. But to me, when I have a horse in a race, I don't like to bet it with anybody else. My wife bets it exact, and I call her a traitor. So.
only if she boxes. Only if she's boxing. If she's betting straight exactas with you on top.
No, she boxes. She boxes sometimes. I said, you're not boxing in the Travers. You're not sitting in my. You're not sitting in my box.
You go sit over there. That's great.
Oh, and then we got the sword. I got the sword dancer too that day. You know, so it's
let's get
two great
that.
Ones in one day.
Let's back through the fields and back through the card. And, you know, I had a lot of fun looking at the both turf races of the stakes, you know, with the Boston Spa and the Sword Dancer. They're both very, very competitive. And Channel Maker looks very much like one of the, I thought both of the English channels, Channel Maker and Channel Cat, stood out.
Well, I mean, you got two things going on. You've got the speed question and you got the distance question. You know better than I do. A mile and a half is a very difficult distance for horses these days. You know, Channel Maker's proven he can do that. There's other horses who have gotten there. Obviously the other Channel Cat. You know, I think that Louis did a very smart. He did a very clever ride. He got out and he got the speed and he got the jump on us, and we chased the whole time. But we also we had the best numbers, best rag numbers in that race. So I don't know. Again, I don't get into, you know, if I was the trainer, I would say to Joel, you go get the lead this time and let him come get you. So I don't know what Billy and Joel have in mind, but I think that it's a very competitive race. I mean, obviously you always got to worry about Chad. But I think that, you know, that horse from, where is it, from Chile, I guess it's from, that horse really won a good race in a Bowling Green. But I think that, you know, I think this is a very difficult race. I think it's very competitive. I think that, I know that my horse likes the track. I know my horse, again, is training very well. I like my chances very, very, very much in the short dance. So I wouldn't be surprised if I'm the favorite. I would not be surprised. I know I would be shocked if I was the favorite of the Travers.
Well, and actually, I didn't ask about that, but no, I mean, Tacitus is going to go favorite in the Travers.
Absolutely.
And what's interesting is going to be how much money the two Chad Browns take, and you know, that part of it. You know, somebody said, "Oh, they'll never be 10-1." Well, it is a 12-horse field, and Code of Honor is going to take money, and you're going to take money, and Baffert is going to take money. How are the Chad Browns? How are they not going to be, you know, square prices?
They're going to be square prices, and they should be. I mean, I think that, you know, but they're good horses. There's no doubt about it. But I think that if you're looking at the top three or four horses, those are the ones that are going to be the favorites, and they should be the favorites. You get beat. I mean, you know, but if you're handicapping the race and you look at it, that's the way it should come out.
Who else? And I thought for a minute. I confused Come Dancing with the other nice mare sprinter that actually Danny trains. Who's the other stake runners from the weekend?
So who else am I running? I'm running in the Albany on Friday. Is that what you asked me? What else I'm running in?
I had a couple other stakes.
Yeah, I'm running in the Albany with Friday with Not That Bravey. He'll be the favorite. He's the speed. If he runs his race, he wins. I got Funny Guy in there. I think there's a chance I could run 1-2. And I got Hachi Tachi, who ran third over in Ascot today. But, of course, you know, now you're in Chad Brown's world where he's got two horses in there that look very, very tough. But I've got a nice horse. I got a bad draw in the 10 hole, but two horses are out, so I'm in the 8 hole. And I'm fairly confident we're going to go. We've got to go to try and beat the outside draw. But I think we got a good shot, but you're up against Chad. You know, as people always say around the track, this is, you know, Chad's world and we all live in it. Well, this is a good example of it in this particular race. But I think I think I have a shot. To be quite honest with you, I think I could win the Sword Dance or the Travers, and I think I could win the Albany. And the Risky First, I'm not sure. So so if you want to set your expectations high, that's what I did. That's where I realistically am. And I think you've known me a long time. I'm pretty realistic about my chances.
No, you are. And, you know, even all the success that you've been enjoying, it hasn't, you know, skewed, you know, the way you... You know, the way you think about the horses. You mentioned Hotsy Totsy today, and one potential positive she's got in the risk averse is the way the turf course is. I mean,
absolutely.
Got to be yielding today, yes?
Yes, and I was the happiest guy in the world to see the rain yesterday. So I said, all right, stop, don't take it off.
No.
So I think that gives her a slight advantage. As we all know, European horses like the soft and yielding turf better than American horses, because they race on a lot more. I got a shot.
Is this the first horse you've had with Christoph ever?
No, I had one other horse with Christoph years ago. Again, being parties with Dean, I'm the name's evading me, but I've had one other horse with Christoph.
Because he's a nice addition to the party team.
It's getting pretty good for having one trainer for 15 years. And all of a sudden, I got five.
It's good for the industry. And in fact, speaking of which, did you guys do anything at the sale collectively?
At the sale, what did we do at the sale? We bought a couple of things at the sale. Dean and I bought one horse. We bought a Run Happy Filly, and I bought a horse with Steven Oso that he's going to keep, and he's going to keep. I went parties with him.
Is that a Pinhook?
We're either going to Pinhook or race it. I mean, you know, I'm going to let Steve make that decision. I told him, get $1 million for the horse, we can Pinhook it. Otherwise, but then I said, but if you can get $1 million for the horse, that means you love it, so maybe I want to race it. I don't know what's going to happen.
See, this is the problem that you've got when it comes to that kind of an opportunity. If the horse has any talent, you're going to say, "What are we selling it for?" Let's race.
Look, Steve and I is a great guy. He picked out Vekoma for me. I mean, he's picked out. You know, I want to say an interesting fact about Steve Vekoma and myself. Every horse he's ever bought for me has got to the races, which I think is an incredible statistic.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
They haven't all won, but everyone is raced. Every single horse is raced.
Well, that's a nice testimony. And of course, SGV is Vinosa's racing or his training outfit. When you see those letters, that's him.
That's him.
Amazing stat.
It really is. And if you think about all this that's going on, I'm also going to run into Spinaway the next day. So I don't know. It's pretty wild, Steve. I got to tell you, been in this business 22 years. I'm in 6 stakes races in the next 10 days. I've been in 6 stakes races in the last 3 years.
I've said it before. You're one of the people that really deserve success. You've been involved at a high level, and you just love being around the game. You have so much fun, and you may get beat, but when the losses happen, you take them in stride, and you come back for more. And so when you get this kind of success, it really feels good, and the way in which you've positioned yourself with these various partners. It seems like it's really worked well for you and for your approach to the game.
Well, that's absolutely true. You know, one of the things that having partners does, it lets you buy more horses. It lets you get more exposure.
Yeah.
Because you buy the horse, and then what kills you is the bills. I mean, if you're not winning, that's the thing that gets you down. So. The ability to have partners and good partners, and I do have. You know, one of the things I've always said, I said it's easier to have a good partner when you have a bad horse. It's hard to have a good partner when you have a good horse because everybody all of a sudden starts to have a different opinion. And I will say that I've had nothing, not one crossroad with any of my partners through any of the Derby, the Bluegrass, the Jim Dandy, anything. We're all on the same page. I mean, you know, Mike and Matt Gaddis are just great guys. They've been in the business a long time. Dean Reeves, you know, terrific human being, a great partner, and so I'm having a lot of fun, and I'm really just saying, you know as well as I do, you can get the bad. I've had the bad times, but I never thought I'd have this level of good times, especially up at Saratoga, which is where you want to do it. You want to do it up there. You know, the thing about Saratoga that interests me is that any other track that you go to in the country, Steve, at the end of the day, everybody goes home. In Saratoga, everybody's here. So it's like a little town, and everybody knows who's racing, everybody knows who's winning, and everybody knows what you're doing. And so that makes it even more fun. And the same people at the races every day, you get to know each other, and you have a lot of fun. I think one of the fun things for me is I saw. And I get kidded a lot the way how excited I get when my horses are racing, whether it's a $20,000 claim or a stakes race. JJ Pletcher once says the whole track knows when Randy's got a horse that's coming down the lane. And so I saw an NYRA commercial. There was me cheering one of my horses on and a little clip. My wife started laughing. She said, "Look how you look."
I love it. Wow, you take full advantage of the opportunity, and something's really got to have your attention for you not to be around for a big race and for any of the opportunities. Randy, good luck today. Good luck tomorrow, and get lucky on Saturday with everything that's going postward.
Well, Steve, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure. You do a great job. And it's always a pleasure. I'm very thankful that you put me on the program. And I know you're wishing me luck, and I hope I'm getting my picture taken a few times in the next few days. But thanks again for having me on.
Not at all. Randy Hill, everybody, and the R.A. Hill Stable, partnered with the Reeves more and more. And you mentioned Matt Gatsis, and they've had a lot of fun. It's been a remarkable year for Randy that you know, the first half of the year having two in the Derby, and you know, there's just been subsequent success. They talk about the, you know, the 2 year olds coming forward, and here it is, the Travers card on Saturday, and you know, he's got a chance to maybe sweep a double between the between the Sword Dancer and the Travers. Unbelievable.
That'd be a nice daily double. Don't forget the Bluegrass I won. That was $1 million race.
Not so bad. Not so bad.
Okay, Steve, thanks again. I appreciate the time.
Oh, we appreciate it here. Randy Hill, let's take a break. We'll come back. Pete Fornatale standing by. Haven't talked to Pete, obviously, in 3 weeks, and he's had such a great summer up here doing a little bit of everything, staying busy, of course, with the podcasts and hosting up at the little lounge above the, you know, off to the paddock there above the Shake Shack and what else? He wrote a beautiful piece the other day. If you haven't seen Pete's music-themed piece about his dad and Southside Johnny and horse playing, and we'll let him talk about that. Plus, we'll get some contest updates, and of course, this past weekend, some familiar names on the 2 days at the Saratoga contest. So we'll talk about those, and he's got all the news that's fit to talk about. Back after this, Pete Fornatale.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com. to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Here on Thursday, Travers Week. Pete Fornatale standing by. Good morning.
Steve, so wonderful to hear your voice, and I think I speak for the entire audience when I say it's good to have you back where you belong.
Well, thank you. And today marks a week back and, you know, gathering momentum and going into Travers particularly, and boy, your meet similarly has gathered momentum, and you've been busy as can be, really, from the minute the gates opened.
It has been a little while. People keep asking me, you know, how's your meet been? What's going on? And the answer, all meet has basically been the same. Everything but the gambling has been wonderful. We're having a great time with the podcast. It's really turning into a little network, which has been fun. We just put in a new show that's almost like a audio version of a handicapping book, Red Board Rewind, with our man Spencer hosting. That's been fun. We've got these Brentwood shows, which have been picking up momentum. We're doing that live from the Brentwood. We're going to be, the Travers one is going to be at approximately 10:15 on Saturday. We're going to just cram it in real quick. We've got Tommy Massis joining us. That's going to be fun. We're also looking to do a little end-of-the-meet party at the Brentwood the next week, Thursday night. Going to have listeners just come by after the races and just get a chance to thank everybody for all the support, because things just keep growing. Partners keep coming into the boat, and we're really happy, and we love the feedback. We love constructive criticism. Just want to keep making things better and keeping things rocking and rolling.
Well, you've been doing it, and the rocking and rolling portion, before we talk results and what's going on going into Travers, you had a really well-received piece at BrizNet, and I want you to riff on that, because it tied together horseplay and your dad and so much about all the different things that you enjoy in life. The only thing that was missing was alcohol.
It's probably good that I can actually get through a piece of personal writing that doesn't mention alcohol, because goodness knows my Saratoga Diaries on attheraces.com, the other attheraces.com, have plenty of that flourishes going along. But this is a great opportunity for me to talk about it. I really appreciate the chance, because tomorrow would have been my father's 74th birthday. And, of course, I always think of him for that, and I always think of him because with my birthday being August 4th, his being August 23rd, there was annually sort of a birthday visit that would happen in that play in that period. And I have so many memories of him up here at Saratoga. And the piece is basically about a recent epiphany I had talking to Southside Johnny, the great, great rocker, one of the best live acts I've ever seen, still out there going strong. Of course, he played Belmont Weekend, and that was the occasion I had to meet him for our Naira Betts show. I interviewed Southside Johnny, and it made my life make sense to me in ways that it never had before. That might sound highfalutin, but if you read the piece, you can follow the whole thought process. But I saw the link for the first time as someone who grew up in this rock and roll milieu and had one of my first choices of career was to be a rock and roll DJ. And it just made the path of my professional life make so much sense to me, seeing the link between musicians, especially those type of musicians, the 60s and 70s rock types, but really all musicians, and the kind of lifestyle, an outside-the-lines creative lifestyle, people who resist judgment and want to do their own thing and make great work. It made me think of horse players, and it made me think of the track. And in the piece, which is over there at brisnet.com, you can also, maybe I'll send it out again one more time in honor of Dad's birthday tomorrow through the Looms Boldly Twitter handle. But the piece sort of ties all these threads together, I think, in a way that that I just felt really good about. And I've been overwhelmed by the response and very grateful. You know, it was something I wanted to write, and I just mentioned it to Jim Balvahill, sort of expecting him to be like, that's a little out there, you know, maybe stick to handicapping. I didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't say anything like that. He said, that sounds amazing. I want it for the site. And I hope that's a sign that, you know, there's going to be another website out there that's interested in producing some a little more off-the-wall stuff that's related to racing, but giving writers the ability to be creative. And, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity, and thanks for asking, Steve.
No, not at all. And you know, one topic I missed a little bit, one of our other horse racing music personalities around the game, Bob Nastanovich, and I was late, given my eye situation, to the news of David Berman's passing, and I haven't had a chance to reach out to Nastanovich yet to express, you know, condolences. But that was a, you know, there's been a rash of these, Pete. It's really tough to swallow. I suppose. You know, angst-ridden musicians are part of the landscape. But boy, I haven't expressed how sad, you know, catching up with that news was.
It's terrible, and it's, you know, it's awful when we lose. It's awful when you lose anybody, but when you lose somebody, and you know, and there's obviously a depression at the core of it, and it makes me think about, you know, how many people who are out there who need help. You know, suicide is something that's touched my life when I was much younger through a very good friend. And I just always try to put the word out to people, like, it's so hard, I get it, but try to get help if you can. Reach out. There are people who want to help you. And, you know, I've always tried to reach out to people who, if you sense that window. The problem is, it is impossible. I'll change the statement. It is impossible to know that about other people and to reach out. So people, you know, even if you're in a dark place, the idea of reaching out to try to get that lifeline, to try to get that help. I just encourage anybody out there within the sound of this voice who's in that position to do so, because it's horrible. It's really sad. And, of course, compounded when it's somebody so talented.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get to brighter topics and some recent success. And we continue on the Beat Bick Challenge. There's still two weekends remaining, five opportunities, Saturday, Sunday, and then Labor Day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Five more qualifiers before the September 14th. Contest, and we're over 1,100 now that have qualified. So I want to remind everybody, and I'll make my selection. I'm going to use the Travers as this week's contest. But let's look at last weekend, Pete, and unfortunately I couldn't come to the racetrack, so I didn't get a chance to see anybody. Four-Star Dave weekend, when they had the 2 days of the Battle of Saratoga. I did see some familiar names atop the leaderboard, though.
Indeed, a Derby trailer gets the job done in the big one. Ed Peters Fantini, 48-year-old from Pelham, New Hampshire, runs a bread distribution company. And in a controversial line in the piece at the end, I said, the bread man walks away with the dough. I got made fun of for that one. But he scored out in the four-star day of challenge over 63,000 in cash and prizes. And I had the pleasure, I would make a mental note if you want a contest player to do a deep dive with, Steve, after his next success. He did such a good job. I had him on the show in the Money Players podcast going through the thought process and the bet construction. And some of these ideas, I'm going to do a piece. In fact, maybe my next BristNet piece will be about a particular tidbit of contest strategy that he was willing to share. But he had a great day and got the job done. And it's great to see friendly people giving of their information and wanting to help horse players. People like that, when you see their names at the top of the leaderboard, it makes me smile for sure. And Ed Peters is definitely one of those. And then the other day's story, Friday, was great as well. Randy Gallo, the son of J. Randy Gallo, this is the 38-year-old professional gambler, Randy Gallo, who's in the family business, who's been going to the track since before he could walk. And he also had a huge weekend and was very helpful in the way he described it. I don't know if you saw the piece. I did a little write-up for the NYRA website. But he had to sweat at the end, but he got the job done, and he was happy not just to, of course, to beat everybody, but particularly to beat his contest-playing relatives. He's got the family bragging rights right now.
Well, and in addition to both Ed and to Randy, how about Roger Satina with another high-profile second on Friday?
He's making that a little bit of a habit. I think we have to start teasing him about it and see what that does for his levels of motivation. Roger is one of the great contest players out there, and it's interesting to see him. For the last couple of years, I know he's put more of an emphasis on his live bankroll game, and I would assume he'll be getting over the hump and winning a big live bankroll event in short order. And, of course, he's always a big threat out at the NHC. Talked about the Beat Big Challenge and that as a potential path, and to me a really smart path to try to get out there and join us at the NHC. We're very fortunate to have Frank Sorensen and Roger Satina at that table right near the broadcast position. Who knows? It might be different, I guess, at the new location for the NHC, but hopefully
those
guys
true.
Will be in your shop.
That's a good point. We're set up for so many years at Treasure Island and don't know what to expect at MGM.
People are excited, though.
Or Bally's. What?
Right, Bally's,
right?
Yeah.
I said MGM.
Yes,
Bally's.
It's Bally's. The players I know are excited about the venue change, and you know we'll know when we get there. But that's always such a fun weekend, and I always love it when players will tell me through the year. People will go back and listen to our coverage, you know, almost just like a podcast, and that's very, very flattering that they think we have enough to offer. And I think due to the strength of our guests, people like Roger Satina, I think we live up to that praise.
Should mention, too, that NYRA, the contest season, not completely over. There's going to be a Woodward challenge on the 31st.
I don't have the details in front of me, but I remember when I saw it, I was super impressed. It seemed like a really player-friendly way to go. I'll dig for that while we chat and see if I can give the specifics.
No, I got it. It's $500 buy-in and maximum of two entries for everybody. So, you know, if you're going to be around closing weekend on the 31st, you can sign up already, NYRA.com/challenge, and pay the $500 before the registration deadline, which is a week from today, the 29th. And this is like an added bonus that you can also play online too at NYRA Bets.
They were seeding the pool. That was the thing that I really liked.
10,000.
Yeah, I mean that's great. There's already so many good things about contests when you can seed the pool. That's a de facto takeout reduction. And just like a carryover, it creates a much more, all that much more player-friendly option. It makes me feel really good to see Naira being open to some creative contest options. And I've got some stuff I'm going to be pitching them soon that hopefully they'll go for and continue in this direction of doing some of the most player-friendly contests out there. And, yeah, Naira Bets is Naira Bets, you can always play online there. So as long as you're in a state where they are, you don't even have to physically be at the track. That gives the potential. We've already seen some explosive numbers in their contest because of that. And I think that could be the way you train and just get bigger as it goes along.
Well, they're expecting, yeah, exactly. They're expecting about 200 entries, and so in the neighborhood of a $20,000 potential prize for the winner gets 35% of the prize money, 15% to second, 10% to third, 9% and down, and they'll pay out to the top 20. And this might be a nice way to wrap up the summer, and certainly the Woodward Saturday card. Stakes laden and always a good day. How about out at Del Mar? What went on out there? Because I did not catch up with the Del Mar action.
I've got the leaderboard right in front of me, and right at the top of that leaderboard, I give him his props when he does well. We have sort of a checkered history. He's accused me of everything from ruining contests to faking the moon landing, but Christian Helmers gets the job done. Bankroll of over 18,000, and you know, I think he's in that conversation. You know, I always say best live bankroll player I've ever seen, most impressive resume is Garrett Skiba with all those wins, but Christian Helmers' name has to be on the short list when you're talking about guys who are really good at live bankroll play. Second behind him was Jeff Deitch, coming in with a $12,000 bankroll, and third was George Scott, clocking in over $11,000. Some big names on that leaderboard, too. Linda Rodriguez up there, Dennis DeCower, Gary Fenton from Little Red Feather, and then just to go from number four down, Joe Rosen, Evan Littman, Tim Herbaugh, Todd Faro. And then I left one out, so that's silly. I'll give that one to Joe Johnson, the Texas horse player, ended up running ninth. I think they had a nice reaction to that one. And the other part of Helmers' victory that was interesting is they had that $50,000 prize pool. Select group of players put up $500 to be eligible for that prize boost. So he had a nice day for himself.
Good job. He's amazing. Let me remind everybody a couple of things this weekend. Monmouth on Saturday, $500 super qualifier, 6 seats on Saturday to be awarded at Monmouth. Woodbine, too, they've got the weekend tourney and 2 spots on Saturday and then 2 more on Sunday. So that's this weekend, Monmouth. And I think there's actually just an online. Horse Players has got the $75 two-seater on Friday. And, of course, a lot of that will include the New York showcase races as options. So there you go. Here's the coming weekend, and it's really been a good summer.
We hope to see you at Saratoga if you can make it there. But if you can't, love the idea that 2 important partner tracks from the In the Money Players show have those qualifiers. If you're on the shore, if you're in TO, definitely get involved in those contest opportunities. And there's going to be more good stuff coming up. Woodbine Mile. Don't sleep on the Woodbine Mile. September 14th.
Yep.
A lot of players come up. We had more USA entries in that tournament last year than Canadian entries. And I think a lot of that is you talking about it on here, me talking about it over on the other shows. It'd be great to see players up there. Amazing time of year in Toronto. And then the other point that I always like to make is it's to make it an easier sell to your non-horse playing significant other if you have one. Toronto Film Festival at that time, and yet hotels are still reasonable. But, you know, go in early, book a couple of movies, get out to Woodbine as often as possible, and it's fun, and I'll be there hopefully getting a chance to meet a bunch of listeners.
And also want to get out ahead of the September 6th, 7th, and 8th. For those of you that have got a way to be around the Twin Cities. The Canterbury Park Ultimate NHC Qualifier, two seats each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Canterbury, the 6th, 7th, and 8th of September.
I've never been, but people rave about the treatment they get up at that one, and it's on my list. It's so hard, obviously, to travel that weekend for me after being up here for now 8 weeks or whatever it is, and then having Toronto the next week. But one of these years, I'm just going to cowboy up and get out there and check that one out.
Well, and we'll be, Tina and I will be on the Canadian border that weekend, but we're going to be at Thousand Islands for our anniversary. So going back to where we were married. Every few years, we go back to Alex Bay and to the Thousand Islands.
Great.
And then Philadelphia the next weekend for Pennsylvania Derby Cotillion and Eagle Sunday. This is like the fourth year in a row that the Eagles have been home Sunday after the Cotillion and Pennsylvania Derby. And through the largesse of Will Schwartz and Johnny D, Tina and I get to see, you know, typically the third Eagle game of the year, it seems, every year now. It's one of those serendipitous things that you know, third Sunday or whatever it is, sometimes fourth Sunday of September ends up being, you know, the day after the Pennsylvania Derby and the Eagles end up being home. So it's one of our favorite weekends. So we're on the move in September as well. And Tina continues to shepherd me around because I can't drive. So Tina's behind the wheel.
That's a fine chauffeur you've got.
exactly. Pete, finally, you got a Travers opinion at all yet?
I mean, I think I've signed the papers. I'm married to Tacitus. We'll see how it goes. I'm of the thought that he's been unlucky and the victim of just mostly bad luck and maybe a few tactical decisions that didn't work out. We'll see if the folks who say that maybe some of that's his own doing. I don't believe it. I think he's the real deal. I think we're going to get to see the performance we've been waiting for. It's going to be really fun. I'm just excited. It's an interesting open race. I'm hoping we get great weather. That's become such a fun day. Really looking forward to diving into these PPs and getting over there and betting. We've got our little Travers party, actually, up there on the veranda, which is that porch in the Shake Shack area. If folks are looking, we had a couple of defections. If folks are looking for a really fun setup, all you can eat and drink all day, reach out to me. We might have a spot for you on the veranda. We have great times up there every year, and I'm sure this year will be no exception.
Excellent. Pete Fornatel, everybody, and still time to have some fun with Pete at the track between now and Labor Day. Looms boldly, everybody, and all the terrific vehicles, whether it's in the Money podcast or live and in person at the racetrack. Pete, thanks a lot. I'll see you this weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
Pete Fornatel. And check out that piece at the Brisnet, at the Twin Spires blog roll. Really nice. A little past the top of the hour, and when we come back, no Tony Black today. Tony is involved. He's got a thing with the Jockeys Guild and the jockeys. They had a meeting that may take a couple of hours. So they started at 10 o'clock, so Tony begged off for a visit. So we'll talk to him next week. But Bill Gallo is going to join us. I want to get Bill's thoughts leading into today's New York Turf Riders Cup. The other grade one, we talked yesterday with Sean Clancy. Let's get some opinion from Bill. See if he's got an alternative view and bring us up to date on how they're going to reschedule the Walsh from yesterday, the novice hurdle, when that's going to get run. And what else can Bill Gallo impart? Anything else? Whatever he wants. He's next. Steve Haskin to follow. Haskin is tromping the backstretch. He was at Brad Cox's barn earlier to see Owendale. And then he was swinging over to Chad Brown's barn looking at bikinis and highest honors. So we'll get an update as well from Steve Haskin and get his Travers thoughts and more. Stay with us. Back after this with Bill Gallo.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
All right, carry the four plus this. I got that. All right. 26,876. What's that? That's how many races you could have bet last summer on ExpressBet. Haven't signed up for an account yet? What are you waiting for? On top of all those races, ExpressBet's giving away 25 million XB rewards points with promotions at Saratoga, Del Mar, and more. Plus, ExpressBet's Fun in the Sun Handicapping Tournament features $120,000 in prizes, including seats to the 2020 Pegasus Betting Championship. I know, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you here, but here's one more. 500. That's the sign-up bonus you could get when you sign up for ExpressBet. So let's recap. 26,000 races, $500 sign-up bonus, $120,000 handicapping tournament, and 25 million rewards points. Hey, this math just adds up. ExpressBet is your way to play this summer.
Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Echobase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 10 or 12 into hour two. Bill Gallo joining us from the National Steeplechase Association. And yesterday I couldn't get to Bill. He was tied into a meeting right at 10 o'clock, much like Tony Black is. Or actually, it was 9 o'clock. Bill was tied up all morning yesterday, sort of like Tony is today. So we'll take the advantage and the opportunity with Tony tied up to get Bill in today. Yesterday, Sean Clancy gave us some help looking ahead to today's New York Turf Riders handicap and the other grade one that is the second half of the jump season at Saratoga. And Bill, after yesterday's outlandish and just nonstop thunderstorm activity, I imagine the turf course has got to be absolutely perfect for the hoppers.
It is. Thank God the rain stopped, and thank God Martin Panza and Nyra letting us run today. It's a privilege being up here. Our horsemen are very anxious to run, particularly in this race, being a grade one. We're sitting on a good race, I hope. We've got one late scratch this morning. Portrait came out. So we've got eight runners today on absolutely pristine turf. My turf guy just came off the course, Rug Howard, and he just walked it. He said it's in great, great shape. I mean, our horses, as you know, they like it. The softer, the better. It's not soft. It's yielding or good to yielding. And he said it's perfect for today's race.
Nice. Before we talk about the parties involved, what is the dispensation on yesterday on the Walsh novice hurdle? When are you going to reschedule that?
Well, once again, Martin's good enough to allow us to come back next Thursday. So we've got an allowance, number one, two, on our last allowance race on next Wednesday, and we'll follow that up with the Walsh, the novice stake, on Thursday.
Nice. So that's great.
Yep. Works out perfect. Well. Works out
yeah.
Very well.
Excellent. So everybody gets to hang around a couple more days, wait for finish on a high note with the with the rescheduled Walsh. Let's dive into the feature. And Sean and I yesterday really centered the discussion on Winston C., understandably. And you got to think that, you know, even with the yielding turf, that only is a further enhancement of his credentials for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I alluded to earlier, that these are all foreign bred horses, but for All the Way Jose, you just see a lot of IRE and GB and FR for France. Those horses, they relish the softer type turf for sure. So I wouldn't necessarily say that Winston C has an edge. I think they all are going to find the ground to their liking. Winston C has probably an edge on off his last effort. It was a huge effort. He's going to be tough to beat. I saw him 4-5 on the morning line, and wouldn't be, I was a little surprised at that at first. He does pick up 10 pounds. That's rather significant. And I would tell you that high weights historically have not done exceptionally well up here in Saratoga for whatever reason. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's the speed. But I carrying 154 pounds and giving weight, considerable weight to every horse in the race, is going to test Winston C for sure. But on class, clearly he's the best horse in the race.
How does the added distance and the added, you know, the added fence figure in?
Well, I think it's going to certainly help. He didn't show any signs of weakening in the Smithwick. You would think the longer the better. It may bring some other horses into play. Hinterland, he wants to go long, the oldest horse in the race, so the 11-year-old. So I think if you're looking for some sort of a betting angle, you might want to lean that way. Which horse of the group you think could get the distance and the extra distance? It's just one more fence. They'll start on the backside at the 5/8, somewhere around the 5/8 pole. They'll jump one down the backside and then get into the normal configuration. And then it's 5/8. We do not jump the last fence at Saratoga in the stretch, so they'll run the 5/8, so a mile from the last fence to the wire on the flat. So any horse with some stamina and any horse that's got some speed, obviously, would be a distance might appeal to them. But I don't see that being a hindrance to Winston C. I guess the weight is more of a hindrance than anything. But there might be a horse or two in there that you might catch an angle going the longer distance. Hinterland kind of jumps out at me. He's a stayer. He plugs along. He hasn't won for quite some time, but he's always in the mix. He runs in very tough races, so he's got the experience, and probably he's coming from the Fisher Barn. Anything out of the Fisher Barn is live for sure. So I'd certainly look at Winston C and, you know, maybe Hinterland with a chance to run him down.
Bill, I brought up with Sean yesterday one of those esoteric type statistics elements to, you know, these two grade ones at Saratoga. Shepherd has won both in a single year, but not with the same horse. Divine Fortune and Sermonal Love in 2010. They each, you know, won the Smithwick and the Turf Riders. I didn't get a chance to, you know, compare the list up and down. Has anybody swept these two?
You know, off the top of my head, that's a good point. I can't remember.
I don't think so.
No, I doubt it. It's quite an achievement. You wouldn't think it is, but typically we get a similar field. But the change in distance and the juggling of the weights, they're both run under handicapped conditions to try and get the maximize the field size. But those two things, the change in the distance and the change in the weights, I think compromises the second race and makes it more difficult to sweep the two.
Yeah, and which really is a testimony to, you know, to the whole discussion of weight and what it can mean. I mean, because in some ways, isn't chasing the kind of the last bastion of honest handicap weights in this country?
We try. You know, we have a very sophisticated handicapping system. We actually have a rating system where all winners over hurdles are rated. And they get individual ratings that are done by an independent. I have a committee of three people that do this, and I oversee the project, and I don't really influence the weights, but I do monitor the ratings. And in this particular case, we don't use the ratings weights. It's very similar to what they do in Europe. This is just an open handicap that I individually weight. But there certainly is some reference to the ratings that each horse has, but it's not pound for pound. But yeah, we depend on handicapping horses, and clearly we have bigger weight spreads. Particularly, not only do we have more handicaps, but we have bigger weight spreads. But as I mentioned earlier, we have to have handicaps. If we had our grade ones up here, weight for age. It would trim the field for sure. Yet, when we get to Bar Hills, when we have our big race, our championship race at the end of the year in the fall, that's a grade one weight for age, and they all carry the same. But I don't like to risk it here with the two grade ones and even at Belmont. So the horsemen know well in advance they're going to be open handicaps, and the adjustment of the weights and the fluctuation in the weight is an attraction, particularly to those lower horses. A horse like No Wonder is going to get 12 pounds here, and he's probably going to need it. Certainly on his form, he's going to need that 12-pound break.
Some thoughts then on the rest of the field. Who else? You mentioned Hinterland beside Winston C., but anybody else here that people should be aware of?
I didn't hear Sean's interview. I was busy yesterday, but he's got to like his own horse. I mean, he was fourth in the Smithwick. It was a good fourth. It wasn't a horrible race, and he carries the same weight, which means there's a 10-pound swing in the weights. It could be a factor, and if he runs back to his he won a novice race back in April at Charlotte, and he looked very impressive and did not run well in the grade one we had at Iroquois, but he seemed to improve in his last race with that fourth-place finish, and I wouldn't count him out. I don't know how confident he was as the owner, but I certainly wouldn't count Chibafaro out.
I asked him. He seemed a little. I won't say he wasn't without confidence, but he sounded like he would be surprised if they could really impact this on a major basis. That's what I came away with.
Yeah, and I think there's real respect for Winston C. here, more so than any horse recently. It was kind of an eye-opening effort. It was an effortless effort. I was with Shepard this morning at the barn. Just took a look at the horse. He's doing great. He just seems great. He's very alert. He was very quietly confident, is the way I would describe Shepard this morning. So they're expecting a great effort. Tom Garner's back riding. Garner had a spill at Colonial last Saturday, and there was some question whether he could ride, but he did get clearance from the doctor, and he's raring to go for sure, because he clearly thinks he's sitting on a grade one winner again.
Well, I'm glad you also brought up Colonial, because on Saturday we won't, obviously take the opportunity with you right now to, and I asked Sean what he thought and his feelings about Colonial adding to the landscape, and he did get a win last week. You got the first and third races on Saturday at Colonial, and you got nice field. You got a 7-horse field in the maiden first, and then you come back with an allowance, kind of an overnight handicap, as it were, as the third race. How has it been received down there, and what kind of handler did you see in the first go around?
It's been very well received. I went down for the first Saturday. We've got two races every Saturday for the five consecutive weeks, 10 races. They've made a big commitment to steeplechasing. It's a completely different group of horses. We're running maidens down there, obviously, and we're also running these ratings horses at the middle to lower range ratings horses. It would be comparable to claiming type horses. But the races do fill. It's been very well received. They've got a great rapport with Jill Byrne, who's the director of racing down there. Allison DeLuca is the racing secretary, and they have welcomed us with open arms. And I haven't looked at the handle numbers or overall or hours, but I think in that environment, they don't. There's not a dramatic decrease in handle for the jump races. I think the people that are there enjoying the spectacle and they're enjoying the variety. We've got a great history in Virginia. We've got a great history at Colonial Downs. We've run many, many races at Colonial Downs over the years. They haven't run for 7 years, but the turf courses, I can't even describe the turf course. It's extraordinary. I think it's the widest turf course in America. It's absolutely gorgeous. The jockeys were raving about it. Once again, we race on the outer portion of that turf course, so very little disturbance to turf, but it's been a great experience so far. We'll hope to fill the rest of the races we have scheduled, and there are bigger and brighter things for Colonial, I'm hearing, next year and beyond. They're talking about increasing the length of their meet, and excited about that, but great people down there. Larry Lucas, who owns it with his group out of Chicago, all good people, very welcoming, and we're happy to be a part of that history.
Well, and most importantly, it's an easy drive for Woodbury to get over from Montpelier, for him to get over to New Kent.
Well, Woodbury helps me up here with the jump races and the Stewart Stand, and then, you know, he gets in his car and he drives down to Colonial and he helps me down there. So he's a jack of all trades, and he's a great horseman, a great racing official, and a good friend. So I'm greatly appreciative of what he does for us.
Haven't had a chance to see Wood. I saw him for seconds one Sunday morning before I was felled by my optic fiasco. I saw him for 2 seconds, and usually we get to spend more time with Woody and Olga. But so far this summer, we'll see. We'll see if you get him up here the last week too.
Well, and I'm glad to hear you back. You hear your voice, and I haven't seen you, but thank God you're okay. And I speak for a lot of us. We missed you when you were gone, but we're happy you're back.
I appreciate it, Bill, and we appreciate the jump set that will enjoy the other grade one on the card on the season, the New York Turf Riders Cup Handicap, coming up to start the action at Saratoga today, 12:50, perfect course conditions for the jumpers, and a chance for Jonathan Shepherd, who after a quiet period, seems to be back in the limelight, and that's great. Always happy when Jonathan Shepherd does well, and Winston C. could pull off the sweep later today, having already won the Smithwick. We'll head to the break, and Steve Haskin is somewhere on the back track, or he might be back at the homestead, back at Avi and Rhoda Friedberg's. But we also are going to get a chance to listen in on the Yorkshire Oaks at York. You know, yesterday I completely whiffed on the Judmont, the chance to listen to the race yesterday. But I knew with Enable running today, and basically it's Enable and Magical facing off. But yesterday, Japan's win over Crystal Ocean, and Enable, you know, really prepping in this spot in the Yorkshire Oaks in about 5 minutes, prepping for, you know, her next go around at Longchamp, in the Arc. So just four in here, Enable and Magical. Lati Dar, the Dar Remy for Andrew Lloyd Webber. and also South Sea Pearl for Coolmore. But all eyes are on Enable and Magical squaring off again. So Steve Haskin and the Yorkshire Oaks coming up. Second half at the races. Stay with us.